Uniflow Motor Oil is important to you if your car is new or in new-like condition. Modern high-compression engines cannot be fully protected by ordinary motor oil. Your engine needs a special oil, one that will retard formation of combustion chamber deposits that cause knocking. Uniflow is a brand new year-round motor oil, specifically designed for this purpose. Uniflow, U-N-I-F-L-O, in the can with the wide gold band at your favorite filling station or car dealer. It's approved by leading car manufacturers because it combines the best features of top-quality, heavy-duty motor oils plus its own ability to fight knock-causing combustion chamber deposits in the high-compression engine of your car. Uniflow is now on sale at mileage service stations. And now, once again, your host, Victor Borga.
It's the last number in this part of the show, ladies and gentlemen. We have prepared the Corioliers and Ole Olsen and his orchestra and myself. By the way, may I take this opportunity to publicly thank Ole and the boys for the wonderful job we have rehearsed. They must be dead now, but they play like angels, so actually they must have been good men when they lived. That goes for the Corioliers also, of course, that they were good girls instead of men while they lived. Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto, a very short version, of course, by Tchaikovsky.
Hold it.
How do you do? No, that's all right. I would like, ladies and gentlemen, to read to you just a short chapter of the life of Tchaikovsky, because we are running late. That's why this is a book that contains the life story of some of the great old masters. And it won't take long. Some of these stories are most uninteresting, but it is sometimes interesting to find out how much. Let me see. Tchaikovsky now. C under T. T, T, T. A, B, T. Lipton. Oh, wait a minute. Wrong T. Tchaikovsky. Seafood. Oh, C footnote. Pardon me. Yes. Peter Ilyich. That was his two first names. Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky. Here it is. Pete was born in Votkinsk, May 7th, 1840. When he was a little boy, he never played out in the streets of Votkinsk like the other little children of Votkinsk. Because when Tchaikovsky was 1 month old, his parents moved to St. Petersburg. I told you it wasn't very much worthwhile. Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto for chorus and concerto and orchestra. Shoot!
Again, hold it.
second half of the WCCO Aquatennial Radio Show has been brought to you by Western Oil and Fuel Company, exclusive distributors of the new Unifol Motor Oil. Our program continues in just a few seconds from WCCO, Minneapolis, and St. Paul.
The 1953 Aquatennial Radio Show continues with Part 3, Red and White Food Stores. Throughout the years, good neighbors to Northwest shoppers. And it's a pleasure to introduce the man who will be your host for the next 30 minutes. One of the greatest names in show business, Georgie Gesso.
I'm going to take your leave now. No need for you at the moment now. What they got under there, God only knows. I don't know what they have to do with me, except they had them left over from the last Aquatennial, so they sent them out with me. But I want to thank the Kaiser Fraser Northwest Automobile Company for sending the windbag band here tonight. Had something written down, but I lost it. I want to tell you something. It's so long, it seems like hours since I've seen you, really. And you look better as the time goes on. And I want to tell you this. This is rather interesting because I like Minneapolis. I mean it seriously. And not only do I like it, I have many friends here, particularly two brothers, Billy and Marty, who own a cigar business and theater tickets here. They're lovely boys. And I remark that it isn't always the two brothers that can come in to any city and inquire the goodwill as they have. They tell a story years ago in Romania of a family of brothers, Levine brothers, three of them, who were completely disliked and hated by the entire community. So much so that when the elder Levine passed away, no one would come to the temple to say a word in his behalf. And this was a terrible thing in this little town of Pisnaic in Romania. And the head of the town called the people in the public square and said, "This is a bad thing. If a man is so low that when he returns to the heart of his fathers, no one will say a kind word, people will say, what sort of people live in Pisnaic? He must be awful." And so one fellow says, "Go ahead," says, "put Levine in the box," he says, "and I'll say something." So there he was, and the rabbi made his speech, and he said, "And now Brother Mark Woods will have something to say about the elders of the Levine brothers." And he got up and he says, "Levine is dead," he says, "and that's a good thing." He says he died when he was 44, should have died 45 years ago. He was the meanest man in Pisnaic. He was a skunk. He stole candy from children, milk from widows. He was a terrible man. But next to his two brothers who are still living, he's an angel. And so we have in this town so many, many, many nice people. I can recall dining in a restaurant here years ago, Shumsky's, long before your time. They served a wonderful Polish dinner. I'll never forget it. I remember it because I was ill for such a long time after. Because I remember it so well because I came with my uncle. My uncle was a traveling salesman, and I was a little boy and wasn't used to a long dinner. You know, they had many courses. And we went into this Polish restaurant, and I'll never forget what we had. We had a wonderful thing as an appetizer, black radishes. Matter of fact, they weren't black radishes. My uncle had asked for them, and they didn't have it, and they had busted up some Victor records and had given it to us, you know? And finally, after a while, my uncle said to me, "Georgie, there's a little bit of an aroma in this restaurant." I was only 10 years old, but I'd been in vaudeville 3 years, and I hadn't noticed the aroma. So he said to me, "George," so then I noticed it, and I called to the boss, and I said, "Mr. Katz," I said, speaking Polish as I do, "was stinkt here," I said, which is the equivalent in English for "what smells here." And he said, "business." And I'll never forget that happening in the city. And now from the ridiculous portrait of a Scotch band introducing me and a Polish restaurant, I present to you the most charming young lady of song that you met just a few moments ago, although it seems like an eternity, Luann Sims. Miss Sims. Few words chat with Miss Sims. I've talked to nothing but that Scotch band and Borgia since the day is over. Tell me, honey, have you had a nice time here in Minneapolis?
Oh, it's just been wonderful.
Wasn't it a thrill at your age to go through that parade and have hundreds and hundreds of people hollering Luann and Luann and asking for your autograph?
Certainly was.
Isn't that nice?
Mm-hmm.
It happened to me, but so many years ago. We didn't have that when I first started. There were no parades. I lived, I'll never forget, at the West Hotel in this town. So different than the Radisson, that lovely suite that you have there. I'll never forget it. They had the first Otis elevator at the West Hotel. I mean, you didn't go on by electricity. You used to pull it by a rope. And even then, the hotel was so old, when you pulled the rope in the elevator, the hotel went up and down. I'll never forget. What are you going to sing?
I'm going to do Moving Away, Georgie.
Moving Away. Mm-hmm. And I shall move away gently and be listening.
Write to me, dear, dear, dear. Think of me every day. Soon I'll be living far from here. We're moving away. Told Mama them to change their minds, but no, we're moving away. When parents say, go pack your things, well, what can their youngest daughter do? I'm taking all things, but leaving my heart with you. Come for me, dear, dear, dear. Come for my hand someday. Please don't forget. Just 'cause we're moving away, we're moving away.
Aquatennial time is time for fun, and I can say you're having a fun time here tonight. And speaking of fun, we think it's a great deal of fun to... Oh, just a minute. We have another bow to make here and take with Luann Sims. We think you'll find it's fun to shop at your Red and White food store. After all, they have the mass buying power, which is represented by 8,000 Red and White food stores in Minnesota and in Wisconsin. And with that buying power, they are able to assure that your shopping will be more fun because you shop every day at every day low, low prices. So why don't you get acquainted with your neighborhood Red and White food store? Remember, you shop right when you shop at your Red and White food store. And now, once again, Georgie Jessel.
This is only because this is on the radio and somebody may have tuned in, so that it makes it look like we're just starting something for them alone, you know. We have... How do you like that? Must be Cantor. Nobody in the world would do that to me but him. You're fortunate in this section of the country of having groups of most talented young people. Not always does this happen, that people have lovely voices, that this God-given thing of being able to sing is manifested in everybody. I remember I lived in New York one time in the Yorkville section, and there was a German up there in the days of Gemütlichkeit, a charming German who had a son, a handsome young son by the name of Adolf. And that son was so gay and laughed all through his childhood and was great happiness to the old man. And then Schultz noticed that the kid laughed a little bit too much because at the age of 15, he started Adolf. He says, you know, my boy, business is not good. And the boy would go, Then he would say to him, you know, Adolf, your Aunt Minnie, she is very sick. I don't think that your Aunt Minnie will live. And the kid went, And finally, when he was 18, the old man came home and said, Adolf, you must know this. Your father's broke. He got no money. We are busted. And the kid went, And the old man Schultz said, look, Adolf, all through your childhood you laughed and then it was cute. Now you're getting older. When everything that I tell you about your people and your own father, you are laughing. You are a bum. You will be nothing but a bum. You did nothing but laugh all your life. Out of the house or never cross me the threshold again. Some years elapsed, and another old German met Schultz on the street and said, see, Schultz, are you going to the upper house tonight? Says, what for? Says, what for? Your son, Adolf, is singing Pagliacci down there. Yes, his name is Mario Gavanza. He is singing down there tonight. So the German said, that is impossible. He was a bum. He did nothing but laugh. He said, come with me, I will take you. And they went to the Metropolitan Opera House, and sure enough, the curtain rose, and after the prologue, out came Adolf in a beautiful voice and started to sing Canio's Lament from Pagliaccio. Recitare, mentre prese l'alderio, non son più quel che dico e quel che faccio. E puna dopo sforzati, serar, serar, serar. The old man says, see, I told you, he's still a bum. But we have with us tonight a group of young people helped and aided by a handsome young conductor who are not bums. And those are the Minneapolis Choriolets who will sing, conducted by Bob Mansky, While We Are Young.
Yeah.
Now, you don't know what a problem it is to put on a show like this because you don't have the right amount of rehearsal. I flew from Hollywood. Victor came from New York. People come from all over. So we practically put this together. It's producers and all of us within a couple of hours rehearsal. And at this time, I want to compliment Wally Olson and his orchestra for their fine handling of this part. See, they can't hear backstage. They thought they were the Olsen sisters, you see?
I can't hear you.
No, these are the McGuire sisters, as you know. Aren't they lovely, huh? Aren't they? You couldn't have known each other. No, I was saying about how the wonderful job that Wally Olsen and his orchestra had done. And considered... No, he took a bow. It's enough. He got enough trouble with the union. Now, I tell you what we'll do. No, it's remarkable. He's a fine musician. When you consider that... Just with the earphones and his knowledge of music. Man can't read a note, yet he knows everything that is going on. We have a request, children, that you sing... Wait, we're having a picture taken. This will appear in the B'nai B'rith Gazette. Really. Jessel mixed up with young girls. Now, look, here's what it is. What about that? And we have a request for you girls to sing a song that you've done so many times on the Godfrey Show called Cotton Picker. And would you do that at this time?
Well, Mr. Jessel, we always do that with Julius LaRosa.
Oh, yes, yes. That's Rosenberg changed his name. I know him very well. Well, you must make up your mind that you might not always be able to go through life with Julius LaRosa. You know? I mean, Lincoln we lost, Wilson... So you might have to do it with somebody else. You know, because he can turn out to be a Chinaman. Anyhow, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I want you to do this number, if you will, with a young fellow who's quite up in it, and everybody likes him in this town. He's good to look at and good to listen to, Mr. Tony Griset. Mr. Griset. Tony? Now, since Tony's background is French, I think I ought to say something complimentary to him about your girls. Monsieur Tony.
Yes.
Mademoiselle Maguire. Très charmant. Très chic. Exquise. Magnifique. Formidable.
What did you say?
Go right ahead.
Yonder comes a cotton picker walking down the road, puffing like a locomotive carrying a load. Hey, Mr. Cotton Picker, what you gonna do?
Gonna get gone away from you.
Here comes Mr. Cotton Picker passing by my shack. Seems as though his body's breaking with a cotton sack. Hey, Mr. Cotton Picker, when you getting paid?
Reckon as soon the sack gets weighed. I've been picking old King Cotton all day in the sun. By tomorrow, sweat's forgotten, 'cause there's new fields that must be done.
There goes Mr. Cotton Picker toting all his pay.
Just a sack of snowy cotton took me all the day.
Hey, Mr. Cotton Picker, hope you have a ball. Hope you get all that's coming to you. Mr. Cotton Picker,
are you calling me?
Walk quicker.
Why are you following me?
I got an idea here up my sleeve.
Got an idea that your idea of me, my money will relieve. I'm just a cotton picker walking down the road,
puffing
like a locomotive.
Like a locomotive. Hey, Mr. Cotton Picker, what you gonna do?
Gonna get gone away from you.
Here is Mr. Cotton Picker passing by my shack. Seems like his back is breaking with the cotton sack. Hey, Mr. Picker, when do you get paid? Second as soon as the sack gets weighed. Get your pay, come back this way, and then we'll have some fun.
Got no time for fun, now I gotta run.
But there's more picking to be done.
What?
Picking out a dress or two, and then I had to match.
Uh-huh.
Then I'll need some jewelry and shoes.
Snatch, snatch.
Hey, Mr. Cotton Picker, what do you say?
Gonna get gone and save my pay.
Hey, Mr. Cotton Picker, what you gonna do?
Gonna get gone away from you. Gonna get gone.
Mr. Cotton Picker.
Gonna get gone.
Mr. Cotton Picker.
Gonna get gone.
Mr. Cotton Picker. Hope you get all that's coming to you.
shows you how life is lived. See, our La Rosa by any other name turns out to be greasy. See, it worked out all right. Huh? And because of your success with the McGuire sisters, I want to give you this BB Roll Ride pen.
Well, I expect you think I don't
Thank you. And now, since this is a day that is for Minneapolis alone, a day that the city of Minneapolis takes to its heart, it takes its young talent to its heart. And so again, we present a local young lady, Miss Jeannie Arlen, who will play the piano. Miss Arlen. There she is. As you all know, you're here on the radio. I'm Miss Arlen, accompanied by local 86, I guess this is.
Bob Bass.
72. Local 73 will play the celebrated, is it Indian or South American?
Yes, South American.
The celebrated South American number, you bet your life.
Aquatennial time is Vacation Land, USA. It's a time for boating and fishing and swimming and just easy living. And I think something that will help you with you, whatever your plans are, would be to shop at your red and white food store. As a matter of fact, you ought to go there and find out just how easy, just what a great deal of fun shopping can be. Your red and white food store. There's bound to be one in your neighborhood, and you'll find a complete variety of fine, fresh foods. You'll find fresh meats, vegetables, all the trimmings for your picnic basket or for those meals that you'll probably be you'll have to plan for when the family is at home. And for 33 years now, red and white has meant such a superior quality, such a top quality, a quality so high that every purchase is guaranteed to please you. So this summer, take it easy, have a wonderful time, but look for the red and white label on the food you buy. At home or away, you'll shop right if you shop red and white. And now, here again is Georgie Jessel.
Thank you very much, and I want to tell you something. That was very good. That was one of the funniest lines. I liked it better than Borgia. But anyway, I think it's about time I sang a song. Is it all right with you? I tell you, had an interesting thing coming here into the lobby before the show started. A lady came up to me and said, Mr. Jessel, you look exceptionally well for your age, which is always a nice thing to hear. And I said, thank you so much. She says, it's years since I saw you here at the old opera house. I'll never forget it. My goodness, said I was just married then. Must have been over 45 years ago. I said, well, I'm very glad to see you looking so well. And she said, I'm going to send a note back to you. I want you to sing a song that I heard you sing in the theater in those days. And she did. You know, it says something to the effect that she and her husband had come to the theater on the honeymoon 45 years ago, and I'd come out on the stage all blacked up and had sung a song. I had just come from the Winter Garden in New York. Well, of course, it wasn't me at all. And it was a much greater artist who has since left the scene. But since the lady is in the audience, Mrs. J.F. Rubberbelly of St. Paul, and it's an odd name. And Mrs. Rubberbelly asked me, would I sing? I can't help it. Probably wasn't her maiden name. She married a man. He was named Rubberbelly. So in the concert. Anyway, it wasn't me at all. It was Mr. Jolson who sang that song. And the song you asked for was Toot Toot Tootsie Goodbye. So we'll try to do it for you as Jolson did it 45 years ago. Yesterday I heard a lover sigh. Oh my, oh me, oh my. 7 times he hopped aboard his train, and 7 times he jumped right off to kiss his little gal and tell her toot toot tootsie goodbye. Toot toot tootsie, don't cry. That choo-choo train that takes me away from you, ah, you don't know how sad it makes me. Kiss me to the end, then do it over again. I'll wait for the mail, I'll never fail. If you don't get a letter, then you know I'm in jail. Tootsie, don't cry. Tootsie, goodbye. Tootsie, goodbye. Tootsie, don't cry. Oh, that choo-choo train that takes me away from you. Oh, you don't know how sad it makes me. Kiss me to the end, then I'll do it over again. Wait for the mail, I'll never fail. If you don't get a letter, then you know I'm in jail. Ah, ha, ha. Tootsie, don't cry. Tootsie, goodbye. To Minneapolis as a little boy, and I had a partner. He's the only partner I've ever had in the show business. We work together on and off now, sometimes television, radio, sometimes at benefits, often at benefits, and that was Eddie Cantor. And so we're going to sing you a song of his. If you knew Susie like I know Susie, oh, 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 what a girl, a sweet young lassie, so, so classy, oh, 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 my goodness, what a chassis. I had a mustache as smooth as a pup. Susie kissed me, and she burnt the damn thing up. If you knew Susie like I know.
You've been listening to part 3 of the 1953 WCCO Aquatennial Radio Show. Your host for this 30 minutes was the inimitable George Jessel. This is Gordon Eaton speaking for the hundreds of red and white food stores around the Northwest. Remember, you shop right when you shop at your red and white food store. Stay tuned now for the music-filled, laugh-filled finale of tonight's show on WCCO St. Paul in Minneapolis, which will come to you from the stage of the Minneapolis Auditorium in just a moment. The 1953 Aquatennial Radio Show continues as we return to the stage of the Minneapolis Auditorium. Sheik's Cafe, one of the nation's outstanding eating places, 45 South 3rd Street in Minneapolis, brings you this final half hour. The place to go is Sheik's, famous for 65 years. The entire company is standing by to bring you an exciting fantasy of festivals. And here to set the scene is your host for Sheik's Cafe, Cedric Adams.
Thank you again. I wonder how many of you folks celebrating the Aquatennial know what the theme of this year's Aquatennial is. I must admit I didn't at first. Well, it's Fantasy of Festivals. Fantasy of Festivals. We weren't exactly sure either what that meant. But as we saw it, some of the great festivals of America could very easily be welded into a fantasy a la radio that might make a very interesting framework for our final half hour. So that's exactly what we've done. We've picked a few of America's great celebrations, and with the help of our entire cast, we'll salute each of them in music and various other ways. One thing the years have taught, we hope, is to put first things first. So let's travel south along the Mississippi to the very tip to find the setting for our first great festival, New Orleans Mardi Gras. The Mardi Gras is probably the oldest, the gayest, the biggest. It combines all the flavor of the old world and the new, which is a perfect description of New Orleans, too, I guess. So to begin our program, come to the Mardi Gras. They say you can find any kind of living, entertainment, food, or people that you want. It's a venerable, seasoned, bubbling, up-to-the-minute town, a study in contradictions. Musically, New Orleans has given us another contradiction. They say the blues started somewhere around New Orleans, the real blues, torn from the heart of sad but musical people. And it became a rhapsody in blue. Excellent dancers, incidentally, were Andre and Delphine, Minneapolis products. Our fantasy of festivals will move northward and westward in just a moment. The Aquatennial is unique, and Sheik's Cafe, located at 45 South 3rd near Nicollet in Minneapolis, is equally unique. There's sparkling entertainment by Sheik's singing sextet, delicious food, delightful beverages, and wonderful service. Meet friends in the Viennese Cocktail Lounge. Use the two private dining rooms for club or family affairs. Enjoy food prepared by John Kuchin, the renowned chef, and served under the eagle eye of George Ramsay, the nationally famous manager. All of this, mind you, with no cover, no minimum. Sheik's deserves its fame as one of the nation's outstanding eating places, and you indeed deserve the pleasure of an evening at Sheik's soon, we hope. Sheik's Cafe, 45 South 3rd, near Nicollet in Minneapolis, established back in 1887 and famous for 65 years. Well, fantasy of festivals continues now, and since our next festival was visited just this year by Bob DeHaven, let's call him in and let him tell the story. Robert?
There you are. Thank you, you fat old man. Yes, last January 1st, I was one of the many who trooped westward to the glittering Mecca of Pasadena, the better to take part in the Festival of the Roses. Being a Minnesotan, I particularly enjoyed the beauty of the flowers, the parade, the sun, and the girls. Almost thawed me out. Of course, to make most of a trip to the Rose Festival is at once a lifetime thing, but to all us Minnesotans, the hope that our football team may perhaps this year be the Big Ten representative in the Rose Bowl Classic is not so far-fetched. In fact, that Rose Bowl fever is beginning to rise even at this early date. Now, coaches, football coaches, are coming through town now, quietly scouting the Gophers, wondering if the sleeping giant of the North will start to rumble again this fall. One such coach happens to be in town this week. He is the famous originator of the split T biscuit lateral, the coach's coach, known throughout America as a molder of young manhood, Coach Teakwood Torgerson, played by Clellan Card, now serving his 33rd year as coach at Carpet Tech.
Well, Coach Torgerson, I surely want to welcome you to our fair city.
Well, it's certainly a pleasure to be here. I always like to get back, and I like to get back here to see all my old friends and familiar faces and everything like that, you know. So it's always a kind of pleasure to me to. I always feel kind of at home here, you know. See,
That's fine, Coach. That's fine.
By the way, what town is this?
Why, Coach, I thought you knew. This is Minneapolis.
Well, that's what I thought. As soon as I smelled the lutefisk around here, that's what I can always tell, you know, I'm over here in this place in
Minneapolis.
This town here, wherever I
say,
am.
Say, Coach, I want to congratulate you on your undefeated team at Carpet Tech. It's a great job. I said, I want to congratulate you on your undefeated team at Carpet Tech.
Well, I'll say it's an undefeated team. We ain't defeated nobody in 11 years.
That was a great goal. That was a great goal line stand your team made last week.
You mean when we was playing Destitute Institute?
That's the game, yeah.
Well, we mean when we was playing Destitute Institute?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know, that's the game that we was holding them. We're right on the 1 yard line.
First down, that's right.
And they didn't make no scores.
That's right, Coach. That was great. In fact, Coach Torgerson, Destitute Institute had first down on the 1 foot line, and you kept them from scoring. Now tell me, Coach, you can quit twitching. How did you do it?
Oh, that's easy.
How?
We quit playing.
Oh, I understand, Coach, that you have a great offensive team at Carpet Tech.
Yeah, we got, that's right. What you said is right, all right. When I was playing for Embraceable U, I was one of the most offensive players on the team.
I believe that, yeah. Say, Coach, how in the world do your players get all that mud off them after the game, after they've played in the mud?
Would you repeat that? You're not enunciating awful clear yet tonight.
Yeah, I know. Well, what I said is, how do your players get all that mud off them after they've played a game in the mud?
Well, that's what they got the scrub team for.
Yeah,
you know.
That's right. Say, Coach, I'm sorry to say, but I heard your star halfback got hurt last week.
Oh, you mean Smelly Svensson, huh?
Yeah,
He got shot, he got kicked in the end zone.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, I guess I gotta go now because on account of my dog's backfield.
Your dog's backfield?
Yeah. My little teensy weensy dog.
Yeah.
His name is Flutquist, you know.
Flutquist.
My dog Flutquist, on account of his backfield, I have to go now.
Well, tell me about it, Coach.
Well, he was, my dog Flutquist was sitting on the streetcar tracks, and along comes a trolley, you know, one of those ding-ding trolley cars
right.
Come right along the track, run clean over his tail.
Cut it off?
Cut his tail right clean off.
That's too bad. You know, he was the team mascot. I hope this accident... hasn't ruined his carriage.
Well, I don't know about his carriage, but it sure ruined his wagon.
Puts on his headgear and becomes Coach Teakwood Torgerson of Carpet Tech. I didn't hear anybody mention the Rose Bowl. So let's take care of that musically as our three lovely McGuires lead the cheer.
You gotta be a football hero to get along with the beautiful. Gotta be a touchdown getter, you bet. If you wanna get a baby to pet, the fact that you are rich or handsome will get you anything in girls. You gotta be a football hero to get along with the beautiful girls. To get along with.
Thank you, McGuire sisters. Now let's continue hoping all, hopping all the way across to America to the opposite seaboard.
Hey, Mr. Haven, as a former European, I would like to ask why you have neglected all the great festivals in Europe. Now, there is a land that really has festivals. For weeks at the time, such music. Not bebop and march music, but music of the great masters. Beethoven, Brahms, Mozart. Why, instead of girls in bathing suits, you enjoy such things as opera. Now, I'm going to interpret for you a little opera by Mozart, which is usually known as a Mozart opera for the same reason. This is an opera in... Now, the whole microphone broke here. I don't know why, but it's melting, I guess. This really is an aquatennial. We have been swimming up here for about an hour and a half already. Yep. Well, this is an opera in one act, and it begins when the curtain rises. Otherwise, you couldn't see a thing. On the stage are two trees, two large trees, which indicate a kind of a small forest. There's one tree on one side, and the other tree is, of course, on the other side. First, the tenor comes in. He is supposed to meet his soprano, as they usually call these ladies. She happens to be a little late this particular season, so he hides himself behind one of the trees in order to surprise her when she comes in a little later, which he does. So when she comes in, she can't find him because he is occupied behind the tree. See, he is carving her initials into the wood with a sharp knife. Now, she doesn't know that he is standing behind the tree. As a matter of fact, she knows it because she saw that during rehearsals. She either pretends or she is plain stupid. Anyhow, she walks across the stage and she goes to the other tree there So now you can see her behind the tree, which hides her for the most part. Now the chorus comes in. Nobody knows why except Mozart, and he's dead. And that's just too bad. Especially for Mrs. Mozart. But this is none of my business. I'm not going to mess myself up in other people's private life. I have my own problems. Just 3 months ago, I paid my taxes. Yeah, for 1946. Now her father shows up. Not Mrs. Mozart's father, but the soprano's father. And he's a very old man, primarily because she's a pretty old soprano herself. He is very angry because she is not his daughter, which, by the way, has nothing to do with the opera. I found that out myself. That's what we call research. Anyway, he decides that she must die, and she's a very obedient daughter, so she dies. That is the end of the opera. Thank heaven. Now you hear the conductor's footsteps when he enters the orchestra pit. Now he walks sideways. Here is the overture. This was the first part of the overture. Now you're going to hear the second part, and that's exactly the same. Now, this little blip is an extra blip we have in case we shoot one short of blip, but that has never happened. So you can imagine we have a lot of blips left over. Now the curtain rises, and the tenor comes in. He's a little tall fellow. He comes in from the left in a single file. He goes behind the tree right away. Now the leading lady arrives, and she is supposed to fill the part of the soprano. She not only fills it, she overflows it a little bit. She's a big husk, she's a big soprano. She's what we call a messy soprano. She comes in backwards, but nobody notices the difference. She comes in a single pile. She goes behind the other tree. She can hardly wait. And you see, she's so anxious to meet him, she hasn't seen him for months. And now, the light is dimmed, and it is now time for the chorus to arrive. And you can hardly see them then. That's why they're dressed in a kind of cheap underwear. Because there is no reason to spend a lot of money for costumes when you can't see them anyway. That's the way our sponsor feels about it, and that's the way it's going to be. Here they come, single-handed. Now they fool around in the dark for a little while. Now this is a mixed chorus. Now they go again, according to plan. Now they get the money and go home. Next. A baritone comes in and sings, Toreador, Toreador. But he finds out that he's in the wrong opera. He's fired. Now, her father comes in, the old man, and he is what we call the basso.
Yeah.
Well, how low can a man get anyway? Now, he has just told her in his own inevitable way that she must die. She is now ready to die, but before she dies, she sings an aria, the so-called die aria.
Oh, must I die? Oh, must I die?
She seems very happy about it. She dies by stabbing herself between the two big trees there on this end. Ladies and gentlemen, may I take the opportunity to thank the committee for asking me to come to do the show with you. It has been a great pleasure, and I can't think of any time I have ever been on stage that I have enjoyed performing for such a wonderful audience as I'm doing tonight. And I hope that you folks at home have enjoyed it comparatively as well as the people have done here tonight. I also like to tell you that I have made a couple of albums for Columbia, which seems to be a secret. Personally, I don't care whether they sell these albums or not, because you know the government gets the profit anyhow. So why get excited about a few $100,000? But I have been in the United States since 1940, and I've been extremely happy during these years. So what I intended to say was that if you like our government as much as I do, please buy the albums.
So much for Europe now. We're on our way to the Eastern Seaboard, I believe, and this I'm really going to enjoy.
Just a second. Just a minute.
Okay, Fat.
I'm sorry, but my little contract says that I handle all programs where more than three pretty girls are involved.
Well, when I get as old as you, I'll have them put that in my contract, too.
I think the boy is a little bitter. Well, anyway, as Bob was saying, we're on our way to Atlantic City for yet another of the famous festivals of America, the very spectacular Miss America pageant. And I guess that's about the best-known event that ever happened on the famous boardwalk at Atlantic City.
On the boardwalk in Atlantic City,
we will walk in a dream.
On the boardwalk in Atlantic City,
life will be peaches and cream.
There, where the saltwater air brings out a lady's charms, there on a rolling chair,
he'll go right into my arms.
Cinderella, you will find your Bella,
someone that you waited for. In romantic, enchanting Atlantic City, down the old New Jersey shore. There, where the salt water brings out a lady's charms, there on a rolling chair, he'll roll right into my arms. Cinderella, you will find your Bella, someone that you waited for.
In romantic,
enchanted
Atlantic City,
down on the old New Jersey shore.
Luann Sims and Tony Grisey. Yes, during Miss America time, there are beauties galore strolling that famous boardwalk, And we just happen to have beauties galore here tonight. All of our queen contestants are with us this evening, and we'd like to have our auditorium audience meet them now. So if the queens will get up and line up here in front of the apron, we'd like to have the spotlight on you. All of the queen contestants, if you will, right out here in front of the apron, and then we'll shine the spotlight down on you so our audience here can get a look at the crop of beauties for 1953's Minneapolis Aquitennial.
I want to see them myself.
There they are, Jessel. How do you like them?
Aren't they lovely?
Take a good look now as the spotlights sweep down this row of lovelies.
I want you to know, Cedric, that I am looking from here. if I was 20 years younger.
Well, there they are. If our auditorium doesn't look like Atlantic City with all its beauty, I don't think it ever will. Our thanks indeed to all of you lovely queens for joining us in our fantasy of festivals. You may return to more comfortable positions now, lovelies. The Aquitennial's fame spreads from coast to coast, and that of another unique Minneapolis institution, Sheik's Cafe, is equally widespread. This famous restaurant, one of the nation's outstanding eating places, combines delicious drinks, wonderful food, and delightful entertainment into a treasured experience. Sheik's singing sextet is known the country over. Sheik's delicious dinners prepared by John Kukin, internationally known chef, and served so beautifully under the watchful eye of Sheik's genial manager, George Ramsey, are equally famous. Private dining rooms for special gatherings, the modern Viennese lounge for before-dinner conviviality, are just many of the reasons why those who know patronize Sheik's on 3rd near Nicollet in Minneapolis, where there's never a minimum, never a cover charge. Well, of course, we haven't saluted the best festival of all yet, and that we'll do right now, and your narrator will be the old showman himself, Mr. Georgie Jessel. Come on out and go to work, George.
Oh, here you are. Look at that. Thank you, Cedric, and ladies and gentlemen, it is a great pleasure for me to come here and supply some words at this time for a salute to your own great Minneapolis Aquitennial. Traveling around the country as I do, believe me, it is refreshing to stop off in this great country and enjoy with you Minneapolis at Aquitennial time. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there are magic names around Minneapolis. Names like Minnetonka, Minnewashta, Shakopee, Wabasha, old Indian names, giving the clue to the romance and the mystery that crouches over the countryside on summer nights around here. Yes, these sparkling lakes with the musical names put the aqua in Aquitennial. And now the prettiest of them all, Minnetonka.
Yeah.
My eye to die.
Let me tell you what that laughter was. Those of you listening in, the girls just got that music just this afternoon, and they were reading it, and some of the notes, you know, the flies get in here, and they must have eaten off some of the notes. Anyway, now back to the mood of the scene. Yes, it is said there are Indian spirits smiling at Aquitennial time, because they know all the time what we have only found out in the last few years. They know that Minnetonka and Minnesota and its thousands of lakes are an enchanted land, and they called it the land whose waters are sky blue. A fine celebration like Aquitennial, it is all the part of something much bigger. That is the pride in this great land in which we live. Because town and city festivals alike, big and small, show to the world that we love to talk about our hometowns. We want the world to know about our life as we live it in this blessed land. In fact, I think whether it's a Mardi Gras, a Rose Bowl, a Miss America contest, an Aquitennial, whatever it is, it's just another way for each of us in his own way to say, this is my country. What difference if I hail from the north or south, or from the east or the west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride, and deep within my breast, I thrill to see Old Glory paint the breeze. And with my hand upon my heart, I thank the Lord for this, my native land. For all that I love is here within her gates. My soul is rooted deeply in the soil on which I stand. For these are mine, my own United States. My own United States.
It is
of the two-hour Aquatennial radio show was presented by Sheik's Cafe, one of America's outstanding eating places and home of Sheik's singing sextet. No cover, no minimum, just lots of good food, beverages, and entertainment at Sheik's 45 South 3rd Street Dining Spot. The WCCO Aquatennial radio show was produced by Bob McKenzie and Ed Beeman. Script by Ed Beeman. Stage effects and lighting by Bill Shepard. Musical arrangements by Vince Bastian and Ernie Garvin. Music direction by Wally Olson. The entire production was under the supervision of Bob McKenzie. This is Dean Montgomery concluding the 1953 WCCO Aquatennial Radio Show.